As Charlie said in his prayer, Brother Roland's in Traverse City. So pray for them today, as they will probably be headed back this way later today. And pray for the services up there as well as here. Again, remember the Cummins. And don't forget, we're receiving a special offering. Just put it in the box back there for Linda. Mark it accordingly. Put it in an envelope. Mark it. And we'll get that to her. There's a lot of expenses that happen, unexpected things that happen when someone passes away. And so it's a good thing to help those that we know are in need. With that, I'd like to talk about, kind of goes along with Dennis's devotion. My subject today is godliness with contentment. This lesson I wrote a while ago, 2006, but it's still timely today, if not even more so than it was then. So if you have your Bible in 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast possessed a good profession before many witnesses." These verses are something that we should just burn into our head, our mind, and our memory. There's so much here. I was thinking, Brother Roland was preaching something a while back. I can't remember exactly what day it was now, but the thought came to me how the second verse there, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." I thought how we spend our life, we think of our life a lot of ways and a lot of times, and we spend our life focused on this world. And there's no taking anything you gain in this world with you when you leave. And there's many verses in the Bible that talk about how short life here is. It seems like it's a long time. I was talking with Sister Mary this morning on the way in. I said, "I can't believe I'm 73 already." And she says, "You're just a kid." You know. And I said, "Well, yeah, you know, but I can remember thinking back when I was, you know, Charlie or Richard's age or something like that. I'm never going to get to 20. It's going to take forever, you know. And here I am, 73. And it's really hard to believe. And your life goes by you so fast. And the Bible says it's a vapor. It's just a vapor compared to most anything else. And compared to eternity, you know, eternity, you have to think, if you know what infinity is in math, there's no end in infinity. And no matter what you divide, the smallest amount you divide by, you can always divide that. And then you can divide that, and then you can divide that. That's infinity. It just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But it never gets to zero, okay? And that's what our life is like, you know, compared to eternity. No matter what you compare it to, it's smaller than that. And you can divide that, and you can divide that. And you think in terms of eternity versus our life, we're barely a blip on the scale of things, okay? And we spend our life focused on stuff in this world that doesn't last. You know, you look at what man has built and created. And I don't even like to use the word created, just built. Man has manipulated the things that God has created into structures and buildings and roads and cities and things like that. But if man were to leave it alone, if we didn't maintain it, it would crumble back into dust, into dirt, into the things that it came from. Nothing man builds lasts, even when he maintains it. Eventually, the people that maintain it quit maintaining it because life goes on, as the saying goes. You know, one generation comes, another one passes away. And things just disappear back into creation. So, and we spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about our life here on earth. What should we be thinking about? We should be thinking about our life in eternity. That's what matters, doesn't it? Isn't that really what matters? Isn't that where we should be focused and putting our emphasis on the life hereafter? The last verse here says, fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Grab a hold of it. Eternal life, not the temporal stuff here that we seem to focus on. Whereunto art thou also called, and hath professed a good profession before many, witnesses. So we need to grab a hold of godliness, and we need to be content with that. That's the other part of the puzzle that man struggles with, is being content with what you have, being content with basic stuff. You look at, you know, Elon Musk. Here's a guy that's, it'd take you a lifetime just to count the money he has, okay? You can't count fast enough to count that much money. Even a computer would struggle counting all that cash if you had it counted in a dollar at a time or something like that. It'd take an inordinate amount of time to count up into $400 or $500 trillion, you know. I calculated that one time how long it would take a computer to get to a certain some large number, and it was like, you know, if it did one number every second or something like that, I can't remember if it was days or weeks or years, but it was a long, long time. You know, if you could do it, it would take you, I don't know, 35 or 40 years. I forget, but it just blew my mind, you know, how long it would take to count one number at a time at a certain speed to get to a trillion, just a trillion. It doesn't seem like that because we talk about the national debt and everything, you know. Well, it's only $34 trillion. You can't even count that high. I mean, it'd take you 10 years just to count that number, you know. But anyways, here's a guy, you know, he's got trillions of dollars in net worth, let's say. And whose is it going to be when he's gone? It's not going to be his. It's going to get broken up. It's going to, you know, it'll be a memory. It'll be a footnote in the history books, you know. The richest guy on the planet back then did this, this, and this. And that'll be it, you know. But he's going to spend eternity somewhere. He should be focused on that. Not, you know, use that wealth for the good of God, you know. That's where we need to focus our attention, is on the things of God and not the things of this world. We have to survive in the world, don't get me wrong, but we don't need a lot of the things the world tells us we need. Godliness is from the Greek word, a Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, which means reverence, respect, piety towards God. We need to have those kinds of things. We need to have that reverence. We need to respect God for who God is. And a lot of times people don't respect God for who God is because they don't know anything about God. They've never bothered to study about God, and the God of the Bible anyway. And they formulate a God in their own mind. That's like what it says in Romans 1. They imagine a God that fits their thinking. And man cannot wrap his head around God. I've studied some lessons and things like that about God, and when you start to think about God and his magnificence and his abilities and his being and his eternity and his omnipotence, and it's like, you know, there isn't anything man can think of that's impossible with God. It's not impossible for God to do anything, to make a blade of grass, to make a tree, to make air, light, water. It's not impossible for him to do that. We can't do that as human beings. We can't make air. We can't make water. We have to start with something. You know, I mean, you can take chemicals and mix them together and make stuff, but the chemicals had to be there in the first place. And so we don't create anything. We just manipulate creation to get the things that we have. This pulpit wasn't created. It's manipulated wood. Somebody cut trees down and fashioned it into the shape that it's in and put it together, and here it is. But no one created it. It's made of stuff that God created. And this too, if it isn't maintained, will rot back into the world and become dirt, which is where it came from in the first place. So we have these things in our brain, in our mind that we focus on, and we don't respect God, we don't reverence God, we try to fabricate a God in our mind that fits our narrative, and that's a dangerous thing to do. Contentment is also from a Greek word, and the meaning of it has three parts. The first one is a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. And then the second part is a sufficiency of the necessities of life. And the third part is a mind contented with its lot, with what it has. Okay. So there's three parts to contentment. We don't need any aid or support. We're good, you know, we have wherewithal to do what we need to do. We have sufficiency of the necessities. We've got plenty of food. We've got good shelter. We've got good clothes for whatever occasion we need them for. And then we're happy with that. That's the last part. We're contented. We're happy with those things that we have. And we don't need any more. We don't need help getting more. We don't need more of what we have. And we're just happy with what we've got. And in the word reverence, which is part of the godliness part, the definition of godliness, appears many times in the Bible, and there are several different Hebrew words that have been translated into English as reverence. In some of the places, the word is used as reverence, which means to fear or to be afraid. Still in other places, it means to bow down, to worship. And then you go to Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In this verse, the word fear is from the Hebrew word yare, which means to reverence, to stand in awe of. We need to stand in awe of God. We need to bow down to God and worship God. We need to do those things. That's why we're here, you know. Matthew 6:30, I think it's 33. Let me check. Matthew, you can turn there if you want. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Yes, 33. Tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first thing we're supposed to do. It's not the second thing or the third thing or when we get around to it or, you know, twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. That's the way, you know, we fall into that trap, that routine. I did that for decades while I was coming through this life. I just showed up, went home, did what I wanted, come back. I went through all the motions. And thankfully, I learned some things along the way. God showed me some things. And when life slows down, if you think it ever does, but it does, you begin to think about that stuff. When your life gets towards its end, you start thinking about the important things. Things become important. The urgency is there. You start to dwell on the Lord more. You start to think about the Lord more. You start to rehearse in your life what you did, and boy, that was a mistake, or boy, God sure looked out for me there. You know, you reflect, you start to reflect, and you realize, you know, what God has done for you your whole life. It's sad that we don't see that as we go, but that's part of the problem with being human. We don't do this first. We don't seek God as God. We don't recognize God as God first, and then think about the other stuff. You know, it's like Brother Dennis says, you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is you pray to God. You ask God to go with you through your day. It's important. Makes a difference. Amen. Makes a huge difference in your day, in your life, if you just do those things. The word respect is defined in the dictionary as an act of giving particular attention or high special regard. Piety means to be devout and to act dutifully in reverentially. So we need to be devout. We need to be consistent in serving the Lord, in seeking the Lord. We need to do these things daily, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but daily. We should be serving the Lord daily, and it will make a difference. I want to talk about the sufficiency of necessities of life. What are the necessities of life? And I think, you know, my niece used to say, I have food, shelter, and clothes. That's what you need. Okay? It's not necessarily, you know, like I always remember this joke a comedian told about his teenage son. And you've heard me say this before, but It's relevant. The teenage son comes to his father and he says, I need a pair of $100 sneakers. And his dad says, no, You want a $100 pair of sneakers. I have $30 for you to buy sneakers, so you need $90 or whatever the math is, $70. That's what you need, okay? You want those things. You don't need those things. And we get stuck with that. We get stuck in that all the time. What do I need? I have most people, I don't know how many people, but if you have 2, 3, 4 pairs of shoes, you know, you have shoes for dress, you have shoes for work, you have boots for when it's cold, you have boots for when it's wet, you have different kinds of clothes for hunting, you have different kinds of clothes for coming to church, you have different kinds of clothes for summer and different kinds of clothes for winter. And all of those things are dress clothes and casual clothes for both seasons or all the seasons. How many tree stands does Charlie have? How many tree stands do I have? How many tools do I have in my pole barn? I can't even find them all. I have so many. And I keep buying more because I think I need them for something. You know, and wouldn't it be nice to have one of these or one of those and so on and so forth? Yeah, it would be nice to have, but I don't need that, okay? If I were focused on the Lord, I would wonder, what do we need here? What does the church need? What should I be doing for the Lord as opposed to doing for myself? What takes up my time during the day? Am I focused on what I want to do, or am I focused on what the Lord would have me to do? Am I studying my Bible like I should? You know, how many have sat down and prepared a devotion? Even though you never give one, you ever sit down and prepare one? You ever study through the Bible on some topic and take notes and write it down and make something out of it? I never did that for a long, long time. I never did that. And once I got retired, you kind of have more time than you have money, for me anyways. That's the way it went. And so I spent time doing those things that I had always wanted to do and studying the Bible and learning a lot. And I've learned a lot since I've been retired, a lot more than I learned in the other part when I wasn't retired. So we need to focus on the Lord. The Lord should be part of our focus. The big part of our focus. Nothing we acquire in this life is going to go with us when we leave it, except maybe the suit they bury us in if we're buried, or who knows what will be happening by the time some of us pass away. But we're either going to be reduced to ash or we're going to get stuffed in a box and buried in the ground. I mean, those are kind of the options, I guess, unless you die in the woods and nobody finds you. So, which probably wouldn't be a bad way to go, I guess. But anyway, the things that we focus on, the things that we strive for in life, we work hard, we struggle with, we wear ourselves out. And I've done all of these things to acquire things in this world that don't amount to a hill of beans in the end. As far as eternity goes, doesn't matter. Anything you acquire in this life is staying here. It's not going to help you. You think about, I've studied some, watched some shows, archaeological shows, and the ones with Egypt, how they're digging up all these tombs and stuff that are thousands of years old and finding these rich folks and pharaohs and whoever they are in ancient Egypt buried with all their belongings. And they dig them up, and the belongings are still there. They spend a lot of time making sure people had stuff for the afterlife. They didn't need any of that stuff, you know. And 9 times out of 10, thieves broke into their graves and stole all their stuff. You know, that's where your stuff in this earth ends up, is in somebody else's hands. May take thousands of years, but that's where it's going to go. It's going to go in somebody else's hands. Or it's just going to disintegrate into the ground. It's just going to rot and crumble, and it'll be nothing. It'll be a mound of dirt somewhere. That's where your stuff is going. Why do we focus so much on That's that kind of stuff. That those kinds of things that are not going to last. We need to focus on the Lord. We need to put our time and our effort into setting aside things that are going to last. What's going to last? The Bible tells us the things that we do for God are going to last. Our treasure should be laid up in heaven. That's what the Bible says. That's where your treasure should be. And we have our treasure here on earth. And what does the Bible say? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If your treasure is in earth, that's where your heart is. You're more concerned about the stuff here that we have than the stuff that we have in heaven. Because have we laid up anything in heaven for ourselves? Probably not, most of us. I'm certainly in that boat. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but you know, that's just the reality of the thing. You know, we are focused on the wrong stuff, the wrong things. We need to be content with what the Lord provides us. We need to be happy with it. We need to be joyous that we have it. And stop worrying about getting more of it, because it's going to be somebody else's. It's going to be somebody else's. You're not taking it with you. I've never seen a moving van following a funeral, a hearse. I've never seen them dig a big hole in a cemetery and bury everybody's stuff with them. Doesn't happen. I've never seen anybody get cremated with their stuff. Doesn't happen. And even the ashes, if they do, the ashes are still here. Maybe it doesn't belong to anybody, but it's ash. It's still part of this world. It's not going to heaven with them. We're going wherever with them. It's here. This is where it is. And we need to focus on the Lord. We need to be more concerned about our eternity and not so much about our present. Because this is just temporal. And by that, it means it's earthly and it means it's temporary. This is not the final thing. Brother Wade, would you dismiss